so good.
All those years later, I publish my diary, Single Shouldn't Suck, and I step into what God's told me I would step into is the thing that I was born to do, the thing that I was put on this earth to do.
This show is gonna be a very, very special show, guys. 445 days ago, I went to a Christian singles mixer where I met a very special woman. I bought her book, Single Shouldn't Suck. She happened to write her number in it. And you fast forward to today, she is my beautiful girlfriend. Welcome to the show, Esther Marie.
Wow. Thank you very much. I didn't know you were counting the days.
Yeah, you know, I was looking this morning and I'm like, wow, I met you 445 days ago.
Dang.
I'm sure there's something significant.
Yeah, we got to look up what the significance of those numbers are.
I know. Numerology is amazing. But yeah. Welcome to the show. It's crazy because we were talking about in the car ride here, it's so cool to like interview you, babe. And it's like, when I reached out to you after that, and we'll tell the story in a minute, I invited you to be on the podcast. I mean, that would have been, you know, almost 445 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're finally in the studio.
Finally happened.
So for the proper introduction, for those of you that don't know, Esther is just an amazing woman. She's an author. She's authored 5 books. A couple were devotionals, a children's book. Her most recent release was Single Shouldn't Suck. She has another book that's going to be dropping soon. Are we allowed to talk about that or no?
We can tease it a little bit.
We can tease it a little bit. Like it might be called Dating Shouldn't Suck. Yes. And I might be mentioned in the book if I'm lucky. But she's just done amazing things. She's gone and built a business around ministering to women and really helping them walk through the season of singleness, but also like loving the life in front of them. So Esther, I'm so pumped about the conversation we get to have today, but because everyone's going to ask me if we don't tell it, let's tell the full story of how we met and then let's get into some of the cool things that you're doing.
Okay, let's do it. Where should we begin?
I feel like we'll bounce back and forth, but I would love for the audience to hear it from your perspective.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I mean, there's so many details that I feel like I add to the story. So to keep it concise and simple, I guess I'll just start from the day we met, because that's where it all began.
Yeah.
And on Valentine's Day, the most cheesy Hallmark holiday you could ever imagine, I met you in a line waiting to get into this Christian singles mixer thing. Yeah. And we were both there for opposite reasons.
Yeah. I was there because my buddy suckered me into going, then didn't show up.
Yep.
You were there for
business.
To make money.
Strictly business. Yeah. So the story goes, I had a friend and I offered him my discount code to this mixer. And I said, hey, invite your buddies to this thing. And I'm going to be selling my book there. I'm going to be promoting it. It was my launch day. Actual launch day. The first day it was
what
available.
A good day to launch Single Shouldn't Suck.
Singleness Awareness Day, right?
Right.
And we're celebrating it. But I also thought, what a great opportunity to go to a place where everyone's searching for love.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell them, listen, love is within you. Go find it. Love the life in front of you. And then here I go and find my man.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that yes. works, right? And guys, I had Justin Maine on the show like a couple episodes ago. So if you go back and listen to that one, that's the friend
he's
she's the referring
one.
To.
He's the reason why.
We actually just went to Kauai with him.
Yep.
So that was really cool.
Yep, full circle. So side note, I knew of you and you knew of me on Instagram, because when we met in the line, you're like, oh, you're Esther Marie. I follow you on Instagram.
So y'all need to get on social media.
Yep. But I had stalked your page. I wished you were going to be there that night.
Oh, wow. So you prophesied me to be there.
I did. I like prayed, I was like, please, I hope Cody's there. But I mean, like, I had this whole idea of what you were like, you know, and then
I wish I could say the same. Like,
better.
I had no idea you were going to be there.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, it was cool. So we hit it off, but then in line, but then we didn't talk the rest of the night. I stayed stationary kind of the whole night. And then you came up to my book table at the end and we were flirting a little bit of flirting.
You know, I had to lay down some moves, you know, guys. You know it is.
Oh yeah, I saw your charisma. And there was this air about you. It was this presence about you that it was.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. I'll elaborate. Just for the listeners, not for you. There was this confidence in the way that you walked.
Yeah.
I could see there's a little hood in you. Even though there's a little bit of that swag,
you know what I'm saying? Not everybody know I'm from the streets now.
Oh, it is all over you. I could see it. And I liked it because I'm from Miami. And I like a little hood in a man. But I knew instantly you're not from California, too.
Oh, I stuck out like a sore thumb, guys.
You really did.
Hey, that's changed, though. She upped my wardrobe. You see the swag?
California eyes you, babe. But yeah, it was beautiful. And I felt like a connection with you. And I was like, I was so curious. Obviously, because I knew a little bit about, I was like, oh, he's a business guy. But I was curious about kind of like why you were the way that you were, I guess, and how you came across that way and just your faith. And so, you bought my book.
I did. I bought one for me and one for my buddy, Justin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. He's investing in this and supporting me. And guys, I want
you to take a note. You sow seed into what you want to harvest in, right? What you honor comes towards you.
Yeah. And there were a lot of guys at the table there buying books.
There was like 8 dudes.
You're the only one that bought a book for another person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you stood out.
I've always been that way, though. That's just like my heart. Yeah. And it is cool because I was like, I have one condition. That you sign the book. So I actually collect signed books from authors. And the full story on that is I have a vision and a dream one day of having children. And I get like, I could see my kids on my knee and like showing them books that are signed by the authors, many of which came up and made it big, you know, in life. You never know who's going to go big, but just authoring a book in general, such a big deal. And getting to tell the stories of how I met that person, how I know them, and then leaving my library of signed books to my children. So that's like the story behind why that's so convicted in my heart.
And little did we know, I was writing a message for our future children.
Oh my God, that's kind of crazy. That's going to be crazy.
And what I wrote in that was very prophetic of our journey. I said something like,
You
should have brought the book. But yeah. I remember what I wrote and I said, no part of your story is a mistake. Enjoy the process and lean into the process.
Yeah.
And so you wrote in it and then, or I wrote in it, gave it back to you. And then
I got to tell this next part. Yeah, I love telling this part because I get to the car. I'm like, I got her number. I'm like, she probably gave it out.
I wrote my number in it.
Gave that away. Spoiler alert.
I took it back from him. So I signed it.
Yeah, she hands it to me, then takes it out of my hands.
Yep. I took it out of your hands because I wanted you to know that you stood out to me because there was all these other guys flirting with me at the table.
Yeah.
And of course, like I'm kind of working the table. I'm not like holding back.
Yeah, I respect the hustle. I know what you're doing.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta put a little bait out there and make the sale. But you stood out to me and I wanted you to know that I intentionally wanted to get to know you more, but I wanted to do it in a very kind of charming way.
Yeah.
And just you did a great job.
Great job, babe. Yeah,
thank you.
So here's where it gets funny. Plot twist for you guys. So I text her, no response.
Sorry. I just wasn't into you.
So like in the next day or two, I'm like, all right, I'm going to DM her and ask her to be on my podcast. She ain't going to text me back. So I DM her and she blasts me for DMing her but not texting her. And I'm like, hold up, I did text you. And then I sent her a screenshot, and it turns out I mistake the 9 for a 4 or the 4 for a 9. Yep. And I texted some random person.
Yeah, you texted them happy Valentine's Day. It was so great meeting you with a red heart.
Yep. That was the text. And so that was pretty funny. But we talked off and on for a few weeks, and we did take our first date. Where'd we go?
We went to Two Sister Falls.
Three Sisters.
Oh, I always forget the
There's
third
three
sister.
Waterfalls, baby.
I know. Only two stand out to me.
the third memory. One was kind of small. You know, we didn't really count
that. It was. It was amazing, though. Yeah, so we talked just like voice memoed for a couple weeks and then planned our first date, which was incredible, life-changing. That day, I felt like I got sucked into another universe.
Yeah, so we get to, it's a pretty good hike, and we get to this. When there's good rain, the waterfalls are pumping and there's a giant like water pool below the top big waterfall. And I look at her, I'm like, we got to jump in. We got to cliff jump like into this waterfall.
I was terrified.
She's like, no way. And I'm like, imagine the story that we're creating right now. So if you ever date an author, all you got to do is drop the line. Imagine the story.
You had me hooked at that point because I was like, oh, I am not being able to tell someone that I did this.
Yeah, right. Because you like think the book, you're like writing the pages. We're at the top of the waterfall. It was beautiful. And I was too scared to jump in.
Do it for the gram, but do it for the book.
Do it for the book, authors. So we, it's cool though, because it took some convincing and she almost backed out like twice, but we jumped together. We didn't hold hands, but we both jumped at the same time into the waterfall. Yep. Esther will argue her feet touched the water first.
Definitely. Because I had to do the countdown because I counted down like 45 different times
and never did
it. But then finally everyone at the waterfall was like cheering for me. And
we had people like cheering us on. Nobody else was willing to jump. We were the only ones. We didn't know.
It felt like a suicide attempt in my defense.
We didn't know, guys, that the waterfall was like an ice bath.
Oh,
it was so cold. So we jump in a waterfall together, and we always joke around, that's when we fell in love.
Yeah.
It's like when we were falling into that waterfall, we fell in love. Other. It's so freaking cheesy and corny.
It is so good.
Yeah, it's so good for a book. Like Dating Shouldn't Suck is going to be a bestseller. Just prophesying New York Times 1,000%. Bestseller, New York Times bestseller. And we end up swimming up under this waterfall together, and to kind of fast forward it was amazing, but yeah, that's our story, how we met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like that day, I mean, it was definitely one of the best dates that I've ever been on. Mm. But more than that, there was a depth to it, you know.
We connected.
Yeah, we connected. We had a really deep conversation. I got to know your story really, you know, in depth. I never knew those parts of your childhood and your upbringing and a lot of different parts to it. And I know, like, I got to share things with you, too. That we just realized we had so much in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Girl Scouts, that was fun. Mm-hmm. The apple pie.
Mm-hmm. Literally, we're walking through downtown Julian, and we are going to get apple pie, like an old couple.
We did, like, the first day, like, 65-year-old old couple sitting side by side eating some apple pie and ice cream.
It was the best part. And as we're on our way to the apple pie store, these two little Girl Scouts have a table up with all of their cookies out there. And we walk up to it, and he's like, how many boxes should I buy from you guys? And one girl says, all of them? And you're like, okay. And she's like, wait, really? She's freaking out. They're all freaking out because
Mom's like, are you sure?
Yeah, the mom's like, you do not have to do that because they had a promise they committed to. They had to sell a certain amount before they were allowed to go get apple pie.
Yeah.
So the little girl was freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh.
She made it one sale.
She made it all.
She quadrupled 5X, 10X.
We're walking back with like boxes and boxes.
We had to get a box to carry them.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to tell a story in this, guys. A long time ago, I had a scenario where I was a Boy Scout and I was selling, like, I think we actually went to someone's house. He's like, well, how many of these should I buy? And I remember telling him like 8. And he's like, okay, I'll buy 8. But he told me, you get out of life what you ask for.
Yeah.
And I remember just like also a time younger in my years when I was like more poor and like Girl Scouts like came up to me and like, hey, can you buy some Girl Scout cookies? And like, I don't even think I had enough money to like buy the Girl Scout cookies. And I was like really embarrassed and I made up some excuse like, oh no, I'm good. And like how that made me feel inside. So it was so cool. Full circle. We're on our first date. And I remember that lesson I learned from that guy. And it's like, you will get out of life what you ask for. Mm-hmm. So I look at the girls. I'm like, hey, one girl's like 2 or 3, but the other girl was like all of them. And I was like, I'll buy all of them. But let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because you will always get out of life what you ask for. So it's like, and there's like, there's a famous like line or something about like you, it's like bargaining with life, mm-hmm. how like if you bargain with life for a penny, then it'll give you a penny. Mm-hmm. But if you bargain for life for a dollar, it'll give you a dollar. If you mm-hmm. bargain with life for a million, it'll give you a million. So what are we bargaining for in our lives? And it was cool that it happened to be on our date that happens. So low key, I had been hoping for a moment like that for years.
Wow. Yeah.
We just happened to be on our date when the moment came.
I was witnessing this insane full circle moment in your life. I remember feeling that way. I was like, should I have been recording that? Because I feel like,
well, it's kind of weird sharing it on the podcast too, because it's not like, oh, I don't want people to be like, oh, he did something. Like, it's, that's not why I do it, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like the heart posture, but it was really cool to do.
Yeah,
I think I felt like I got to impart into those little girls wisdom that was imparted into me.
Yeah.
And for all of you guys out there, you get out of life what you bargain for. So mm-hmm. ask for a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's have some fun now. We've all heard right. a little bit of our story, and I don't want to take up too much of the episode on that. You guys can just read the sequel mm-hmm. to Esther's series of book that she's writing to get the full in-depth juicy meat of every little detail. But you have an amazing call in your life, babe.
Thank you.
You're incredible. I happen to be in love with you. I'm really blessed. I get to be in proximity to you. I get to see how real what you do is behind the scenes for women.
Yeah.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit more about the call that God has on your life, how you're stepping into that and how you're stewarding that.
Sure. So I spent about 10 years writing my last book, journaling
wow.
my season of singleness, because I felt like there was very few, if not any, messages that were empowering me in my journey to live out the calling that was on my life and the significance of the purpose yeah. in singleness. So much of the message that I was receiving in my, especially earlier days being single, my early 20s, teenage years, was surrounding preparing yourself for marriage
yeah.
and the significance of dating for the intention and purpose of marriage, but not understanding the dynamic of really building into who I am just because God created me with significance without any other end goal in mind or you know, imaginary finish line of like, oh, this is when finally I'll be fulfilled
yeah.
and like life will begin. Mm. So I feel like there was a lot of confusion in my singleness that hindered me from really being able to enjoy my life fully and live adventurously. So that's why I began writing that book. And so throughout that time, I always wish I had someone to kind of pull me into my purpose and draw that out of me and inspire me to live my best life. And what does that mean? And how does it, what does it look like to actually go after the more that God has for me? What does it look like to stop praying for a fantasy and start praying for the future that God has for
wow.
me?
Wow.
So
good.
All those years later, I publish my diary, Single Shouldn't Suck, and I step into what God's told me I would step into is the thing that I was born to do, the thing that I was put on this earth to do, yeah. which I really believe is to be that person that I wish I had and be that older sister or be that mentor, be that friend that girls especially, I mean, I do, my book is not just for women, but specifically I do feel like I can connect more with women in the matters of navigating their emotions, navigating their heart, navigating
right, some
of these
you had
nuances.
To walk through that for so long in
yeah.
your own journey.
And there's so many limiting beliefs that we buy into,
yeah.
Whether it even be a component of your belief system that you were raised in, yeah. in your religious background, or whether it be standards of the world and measurements of how we measure our success by relationship status, or whether we measure our personal significance of our career path or whatever that is. There's so many limiting beliefs.
Yeah, because like especially women are so indoctrinated too young that like they have to get married and have children young yep. and all these things. So it's like it's hard to live the life in front of you and enjoy it to the fullest in the journey that God has you on when you feel this pressure and conformity of society that if I don't have someone else right now in my life, then I'm doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Did you feel that?
100%. I did. I felt that for so long. And I always felt like I needed to write my future husband more letters. I needed to pray for him. I needed to intercede. I needed yeah. to be perfect so that God would bless me.
And your background, obviously, for those that don't know, you were upbrought in a very Christian, faith-based family, right?
Yeah. Amazing family, too. Yeah.
Like,
honor, like,
incredible
family. Parents, incredible, like, but I think that it was really just more so the trajectory of the season of how the purity culture kind of shaped the way that we viewed singleness and the way that we viewed
yeah.
dating and really, if, and if you grew up in like that time period in the 90s, purity culture was rampant in more than just Christendom. It was rampant in like all over in many religious backgrounds and stuff. And so it was kind of hard to step into believing that God had more for you than just, oh, save yourself for marriage and then like he'll bless you with your spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the journey was awkward and interesting. But that's what led me to what I'm doing now, which I get to come alongside women and help coach them, lead them into learning how to let go of searching for the one, trusting God with that, because that's beautiful too. I'm so grateful God put you in my life, but I'm so grateful that he also taught me how to love my life, how to step into my calling, how to step into my purpose before I met you, because now
and I think that's so important, right? Because now you're not reliant on a significant other, which in this case is me, for that happiness, for that fulfillment. Right. You've already found that in your own journey. And now you get to bring the joy, the fulfillment, and the happiness into this relationship. Same on my side, right? Like I was already in a journey, loving the life in front of me, living my best life. So now our relationship is blessed in a way where it's not like, yo, Esther, I need you to make me happy and complete.
Absolutely.
And you need me to do that for you. It's like, no, like our lives are great. Mm-hmm. But now that we're together, it's even greater.
Absolutely. And I learned through our relationship how beautiful God has designed kind of the coming together of both men and women, because there is something so unique that you draw out of me that I never could have drawn out of
myself. And vice versa, right? Yeah. Like so many things that you draw out of me. And relationships are so powerful because they reflect a lot of things inside of you that you never would have seen without the other in your life that close to you. It's like having a mirror up to your face.
Yeah.
But then also that person's in your life that will pull out gold in you that like you didn't even know was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that in you.
Yeah. Thank you, babe. So and good. I would say that I was attracted to that in you when we first met. I was attracted to the way that I didn't feel like you needed me to give you attention.
Yeah.
But yet like
made her want me more.
It did. You call it intentional tension.
It's my little secret. Actually, Robert Glover, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Great book, guys. You can learn so much about that. That's actually healthy for a relationship.
Yeah. But I also saw in you that you were going after it.
Yeah.
And you were going after your purpose, your calling, and that was so attractive to me, and which is continues to be attractive.
I think that's the most attractive thing in a human being to me. And maybe not everyone's like that, and we have our own childhood traumas, things we work through, but there's nothing more attractive than seeing someone go after the call in their life and be driven.
Oh yeah. It's the sexiest thing. I used to call you Endgame to all my friends.
Endgame? What does endgame
like,
mean?
Oh, he is so endgame. Like, I saw you, I was like, what endgame? So it's because, like, I saw you running your race and that I could see us running our race together and being, like, this power couple.
Yeah. But, let me tell you something crazy, babe, because I went through a little bit of what you went through. I've been very focused on being the best version of who God has called me to be. Yeah. And in the journey to do that and breaking off things, there was almost this obsession with being the best version of me to the point of I don't have time for a woman.
Yeah.
That she will take away from that in my life. Like I bought into this a lie.
Yeah.
And one of my mentors spoke into me and he said, Cody, because I went through this weird period where I didn't have my dad, you know, my whole story and all those things. And when I really sat down and began to write down, what do I define success as? It's actually being the father I never had. So then it was like this confliction of I'm going hard after business and becoming this speaker and doing all these things that I feel called to do that's in my identity God gave me, but yet I define success as being the father I've never had and I'm not even creating room for a relationship with a woman, so therefore am I actually failing at the thing that I value the most in life?
Dang.
So I have this like revelation, then it's like do I need it's so conflicting and I need to find a woman and like all those thoughts go through my head and I've been a Christian single man for a while now. And my mentor just sits me down one day and he's like, Cody, continue to run hard and fast in the lane that God's called you. And one day you will look to your right and your wife will be running right next to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. And it's crazy because that's our journey.
Yeah.
We were both sprinting on our own races, not stopping in the race, not like, hey, we're going to take a pit stop for
there
the next 3 months
no
and go look for our significant other.
Yeah.
I just all of a sudden looked over and you're sitting in my podcast studio and I'm like, yo, you were right.
It's so true. And those, I feel like I get really annoyed with kind of like sayings like that, to be honest. I'm like, oh, it's so cringy. Like, stop trying to like put me in a box. But it is true. It is true that God really, he's like, hey, seek me first. Everything else will follow. And I do believe that when we are chasing our purpose, when we are chasing the heart of God, that we're not distracted by all the other things that kind of get us off the path.
Yeah.
And then it does give us clarity to see the person that would fit best with that calling.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's like, if you're chasing who you're called to be, you're not even chasing, you're just being who you're called to be. You're going to attract the person you're meant to be with by being the most authentic version of yourself anyways.
Yeah.
If you're out there chasing a significant other, the opposite sex, then you're almost trying to sometimes be someone you're not just to get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And often that's disingenuous. It's inauthentic.
Right.
And it never typically works out.
Yeah. And I would say, in kind of alignment with what you're saying about you're going to naturally attract that person. Well, in the same regard, you're going to naturally be attracted to environments where you're going to meet more people like that. And it's not just like, oh, this magical thing where in the air, like your person is now gravitating towards you, magnetized, you know? It's like, no, you're going to start going to events. If you're into business, you're going to start going to events and you're going to start joining communities and surrounding yourself with more like-minded people. The more that you are saturating your focus on what you're called to do.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's speak to the single, let's just speak for now. We'll speak to a woman or man, I guess, that's in that season right now, Esther.
Yeah.
They're in their single season. They're hurting inside because they long to be with a significant other. And guys, just so you know, God wired us that way.
Yeah.
Like innately, we are designed to be attracted to the opposite sex, mm-hmm. to fall in love, to procreate, to have families. Like there is biologically an engineering in your body that makes you desire that. It's completely 100%. Normal. So someone's in that season, but they're not living the life in front of them. They're not happy. They're not finding fulfillment. They're not finding joy. They feel empty, and they feel like that'll only be solved by finding somebody, a significant other. What would you say to that person?
So I would say, what makes you come alive? I would ask them that. What makes you come alive? And if you could change one thing about your season of singleness right now to make it the most amazing, apart from meeting someone, what would you change? What would make it the best season that you would look back on and say, man, I lived it out so incredibly. I have stories worth telling. It was such an adventure. I'd ask them those questions because I think those questions are more valuable than any answer I could give. A lot of times we're searching for all the answers to...
It's not one size fits all.
No, it's not. And that's the problem really, is that everyone's looking for a solution that only God can give them.
Yeah.
And God wants to speak something so unique to every person.
Yeah.
And so I would never give some kind of anecdote to, oh, this is the formula to how to live the most content in singleness.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give inspiration and I could say, hey, this is how God took me on my journey. And these are the adventures that I've had and the revelations I've had. But hey, like, how about we ask some better questions? Because I think that you'll get so much further posturing yourself in a place of wonder and just kind of leaning into the mystery and making peace with that, because we're uncomfortable with that. And it's hard for us to trust God with that. So I think if we can ask some better questions, I think it's really going to put the fire underneath them to really come alive in who God's designed them to be.
So what makes you feel alive? And practically, do they take out a piece of paper and write down all the things that make them feel alive that they enjoy doing, and then just begin to do those things?
Yeah, I think it could start there. I think it can start with just like a moment of dreaming into your life and what that could look like beyond the limitations of your desires going unmet in this season.
That's good.
And so I think even going back to childhood, when you look back to your childhood dreams, what did your future look like through that lens?
Yeah.
Because when you were a kid, there was no limitation of what you thought was possible. And you weren't disheartened by all of the brokenness that you experience as an adult and through the journey of life. So when you can go back to the purity and innocence of that time, then you can start reimagining your future and start going after those things.
Yeah, that's so good. And I feel like our single seasons, And sometimes there are seasons we get thrown into that we never thought we were going to be thrown into. We're with somebody, then all of a sudden the relationship ends and it hurts and there's heartache and you have to walk through that. And that's tough, right? And I know you've got devotionals that's one's about heartbreak. What is it? Mm-hmm.
Break up with heartbreak.
Guys, just so you know, Esther has some of the most incredible content on the YouVersion Bible app.
Yep.
Real quick, how do they find it?
Yeah, you just download the Bible app on Apple or on whatever phone you have. And then you can search Esther Marie. You can search Break Up With Heartbreak. I have one called Unhindered By Fear. If he wanted to, he would. Single Shouldn't Suck.
Okay, so there's some good resources there. Yep. I wanted to say, though, I just felt like the Holy Spirit put on my heart that singleness, there's actually a lot of bonuses to your seasons of singleness because they're the most selfish seasons that we get to be in.
Totally.
And that's the time to do the things that you really want to do and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're about to talk about next is love. And love, we'll get into what that means and the sacrifice around that, the way that it's beautifully designed. But when you don't have that in the moment, would that not be the time to do all of the adventures that you selfishly have wanted to do?
1,000%. And I think it's so healthy to pursue that.
Yeah.
It's so healthy to admit to yourself that, you know what, actually, I do want a relationship, but I want this more right now because I feel like that there's more about myself that I don't know yet. And I feel like God wants to take this time to show me the more that he's called me into in dreams I never even knew I could have.
Yeah.
And so that honesty is really important for you to have between you, yourself, and God.
Yeah. I mean, I think about my single season from, you know, years ago when I got my heart broken and I walked through. It actually became the most defining several years of my entire life because I began to do all of the dreams, all of the visions that I always had, the businesses I always wanted to build, the trips I always wanted to take, the things I always wanted to do, which actually helped me grow into the type of man through those experiences that would track a woman like you.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy like how you see all that come together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the same for me, because I mean, I really threw myself into just dreaming into and saying yes to every opportunity that I could, like every trip that I could dream up, every surf, you know, adventure and all of it. I think that that really it molded and shaped me into the woman that I am today as well.
So good. So let's get into, there's a couple things I want to cover. I want to talk about love.
Let's get into
and like,
it.
Because we've done some cool stuff and had some deep conversations around love that I just think could be so valuable for the audience. And then let's talk about navigating being an entrepreneur couple. I think we'll go there after that. But first, let's talk about love. What is love to you, Esther?
I love this question because it's been so different. Transformed in my life since meeting you, especially.
Same.
But love to me is, well, number one, of course, it's laying down your life for someone and being all in, fully surrendered, unhindered by what you can get from them, unhindered by how they may treat you, and fully being completely vulnerable and open to someone even hurting you and saying like, I'm choosing to love you even if you choose to hurt me.
Wow.
And on the other side of that, I think love is this powerful force that causes you to kind of be completely turned inside out, you know? Yeah. Like in all of the crazy, fun, wild, silly ways of being goofy with that person. If some people will say that like you can be yourself fully, but what does that mean? I think it's just like allowing that person to just see all the imperfect parts of you, I'm realizing. Because I think that I try to be perfect for like the first year of our relationship.
Yeah. I remember when you used to like message me and be like, you're too perfect.
Yes. Because I felt like, well, your voice messages were just so perfect to me. Like, I felt like I was listening to a podcast every voice message you'd send me.
And then fast forward today, I'm like, you sure you still want to be with me?
Well, because, yeah, I think it's natural that you put your best self first, right?
Yeah.
That we want to do
and
that.
And we do that when we're pursuing someone, right? We always do our best to be as perfect as we can show up. But the reality is, you know, you hang out a few months with somebody and you know, you get to know who they really are.
Yeah. And I wanted to get to that point. I think that there was something really unique about just even being in that season. I'm like, oh, I like the sound of your voice. You know, when you're like, had like this like sound, this very charming sound, which you still do, babe. But it's different now because now you're comfortable with me.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm goofy.
And you're goofy. Yeah. The more you became, I think the more we fell in love, the more fully ourselves and goofy we became.
Yeah, that's cool. So I love that about love, and I'll kind of riff on that. You know, we've talked a lot about how biblically the definition of love is to lay your life down for somebody. Yeah. I will say, even for the record, like, I don't believe that you have the one out there.
Yeah.
I don't believe that God predestined a man or woman for you to fall in love with that's like, oh, that's the only person. I believe that love is when two human beings meet each other and they fall in love with who the person is, and they're willing to lay their life down for that person and go through life together for the rest of their lives on a journey.
Yeah.
So I actually feel that love is a choice, and love has two sides to it. On one side, love is a sacrifice. Hey, I'm willing to lay my life down for you, Esther. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to lay down my selfish desires I even had in my single season. And sure, I'm going to bring myself into the relationship. We're going to do life. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have adventures. We're going to grow, all these things. But I'm also willing to meet you there halfway and understand you have all of your own desires. And within that, there's going to be a requirement of laying my life down for you, of laying down things that selfishly, maybe I don't want to do or this or that, but because I love you, I'll lay my life down for you. Mm-hmm. And you choosing to do the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And I think that that overlap of two people laying their life down for one another is true love, because it's the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's also a passionate connection between human beings falling deep into one another. And there's something magical around the aurora of being in love with another human being. There's a level of depth that you can't achieve with your mom or your dad or your brother or your friend, or that it's not, it doesn't go that deep in that way that you get with a significant other.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's because that's how God designed us to find connection in that type of way of, you know, the transformation of love.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people make themselves available to that. I think that they are searching for infatuation.
Why do you think that is?
Because there's a lot of fear. I think fear is the number one inhibitor of love.
And because they're afraid of being hurt.
They're afraid of being hurt. And they're also afraid of actually being fully seen and fully known.
Yeah.
Because we're not perfect. And we have...
Right. So there's that fear. If Esther truly knows I'm not perfect, would she still love me?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, right? Mm-hmm. But what about the fear of I've opened... See, love's also vulnerable.
Yep.
Love is letting someone be so in proximity to you that they could hurt you.
Yep.
That's the scariest thing for me about love, because often somewhere in our journey, we took the... Especially for men, we took the armor off.
Yeah.
We got in the vulnerable position and we felt stabbed by a woman. Mm-hmm. So we don't ever want to take the armor off again.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, I've been there. And for a woman, too, most vulnerable, submitted under a man, there's masculine energy, feminine energy, and the man abused that and hurt the woman. So I'm never going to let my guard down in the same way, because my experience is men hurt you when you let them close to you.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Okay. In 1 John 4, it talks about how perfect love drives out all fear. It says there's no fear in love because perfect love drives out all fear. And it says that because with fear has to do with punishment.
Yeah.
So, and when you see that, actually what John is talking about is he's saying that the opportunity to face that fear is when that love overcomes it.
So good.
So it's like, you will never be fully in love with someone. You will never fully like be able to give yourself to that person and lay your life down until you face that fear.
Yeah.
Until that
and love conquers that.
And love will conquer it.
Yeah.
But you have to face that fear in order for that love to have its way in you.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't go away, though. You said earlier how when you love someone, there's that unhinderedness of even, because we are human.
Mm-hmm.
We in human, we do make mistakes, and those mistakes can often hurt the people we love and care about the most. Mm-hmm. So there's also a level of grace given
yep.
within love of like, you're so close to me that at times I actually know you will still hurt me.
Well, yeah, because that's the humanity of you, right?
Yeah.
That's the humanity of you that I'm choosing to love. I'm seeing all your sin up close. You're seeing all my sin up close. You're seeing all of my shortcomings.
Yeah.
And because of the grace of God, that's the beautiful part. I mean, that's why we have God in the center of our relationship, because he's our accountability to yeah. love one another beyond our sinful nature and our flesh. Because us alone,
yeah.
we will continue to hurt each other and will become more and more and more offended, creating resentment and bitterness in our relationship.
Yeah.
Our hearts will grow cold. We will no longer have the love because we will have such a distance
yeah.
between us. And without the grace of God, we won't be able to move past that and learn how to fully love each other.
Yeah.
So that's the beautiful component of having Jesus as the center of your relationship, because yeah. we are accountable to that.
And I think that's so yeah. important to say, because when God is in the middle and he's the foundation of the relationship, then no matter what the issues are, you always have him to lean on.
Yep.
You know, I always talk to you about this a lot. Like, I pray a lot that Jesus shows me how to love you in the way that he would love you.
Yeah.
Because that changes things. It allows me to go beyond the humanity in me and seek counsel and grace and mercy and strength in Jesus yeah. and how he would love you. How do I role model that in the same way? It's like we have him right in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of with us, right? Mm-hmm. We're a three-chord strand in a way, and we're not married yet. So you become fully that under marriage and yeah. a covenant underneath of God. But even in dating, when yeah. Jesus is at the center of dating, I think it's allowed us to steward our relationship and move beyond bitterness, resentment, pushing one another away. That's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's life-changing.
Yeah. So I hope you guys are taking notes on this, because it's powerful. And, you know, from there, let's move into, you know, we're both entrepreneurs. We have an interesting relationship. And I had Tony and Elise on recently, you yeah. know, number one marriage.
Oh, that was such a good podcast.
So good.
I was obsessed with that one.
And it's like, we've had to learn a lot. And yeah. I know that, like, we'll be vulnerable on this show. We're not here to act perfect with you guys. We're not nope. here to act like our relationship. We have a lot of our own issues. And one of them has been navigating being entrepreneurs in business and also having a healthy relationship, deep connection. And yeah. I think it would be powerful, because I don't think you see a lot of people do this well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how are we learning through our own journey how to navigate business and love and relationship in us?
Well, I think a part of it really begins with really great counsel and mentors that we get to go to, and we say, hey, yeah, like,
we're blessed.
How do we do this? Or how did it work for you guys? Or what were some of the roadblocks that you faced? And learning how normal our journey has been with that too, and how they're like, oh yeah, we faced that too. Here's what we did. You know, here's some tools you guys can use. That has been powerful. But
let's talk about some of the hangups that have happened.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I think that you have helped me realize more of these than like I was seeing. Maybe I was a little oblivious at first to things because of my drive. What hangups did you notice being in a relationship with a man like me that's so driven, stepping into my business? We do work together. Esther's my COO of Content Daily. So she runs ops over the team, but she also has her business that I've stepped in as a CEO role, strategist, helping behind the scenes. Hey, this is how you build this company. This is how you impact more lives. So often there's such an overlap of, let's talk about business. Let's talk about how we build the business. Let's talk about this client. Let's do this. And there's some things that came up. What came up in our relationship that was tough for you with that?
Yeah, I think that kind of not having healthy boundaries with our intimacy, you know, because I think that it's talking about business is something that we have so much fun doing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it can be really stressful. And it can be like, oh my God,
I don't want to
talk
well.
About social media anymore, you know? And also, like, making money, just like conversations of money is challenging, because as a man, you feel a certain type of way of providing.
Yeah.
As a woman, I feel a certain type of way of of just like needing to feel connected to you and not always wanting to hear about the burden, you know. But then I'm putting myself in a position of partner. So I'm saying I'm available like to kind of step into that role to a degree. But I think for a while there, it was like you were coming to me with all your problems and with all your fears and all your worries. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what do I say to this?
Terrible idea,
like,
man.
Not fun. Definitely kills the vibe. But more than that, like it just put a weight on our relationship that we didn't need.
Yeah.
And I will say one major shift that happened for me in our relationship and in like our business dynamic was I separated needing to, number one, have the solutions for you when you came to me with some of those issues. And number two, I separated my love for you and also what you did as a job and like what the business looked like. And I was like, you know what? I love you no matter, like you could be a garbage guy, you know, like you could be freaking taking out the dumpsters and doing all that. And my love would stand alone for you. And whatever you're choosing to turn this business into, I just support you. I might not be passionate about the business all the time, yeah, but I support you. And that was such a game changer for me.
Wow. That's so good. And I think that the boundaries was huge, like learning, gentlemen, well, for one, you should never burden your significant other with all the problems that you have going in your life. You should, yeah, have brotherhood and mentors and people to go to. And there was a time I was shoveling out all of those things on Esther, which wasn't fair as well for you to carry those burdens, right?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, hey, you are a COO of this company and a lot of these problems, I need your highest and best thinking, yes, on for solutions to be created.
Yeah.
So I think there was two things that I learned in that season was there's some things I don't need to share with you and I need to develop discernment and wisdom on the ones that I do and have the right time and place when to talk about them with you. And we have team meetings now and prayers, mm-hmm, and ways that we've built in infrastructure to do that. But then the other is the honoring of boundaries. And I think I'm still tightening this up. We're getting pretty good. We've, yeah, been going pretty well. So we do weekly date nights on Wednesday now.
Yeah.
So we do, and we just had an amazing date night.
Mm-hmm.
We went out on Lake San Marcos and I had scheduled a Venetian gondola from Venice, Italy, like boat, like private romantic out
in
the lake.
So romantic. It was so cute.
So guys, like just so you know, if you are looking to build a business with your significant other, it's very important that you have time set aside for date night and that you do things that make her feel special. And I didn't understand that at first because for me, to be honest, it's like, yo, like we have the best lives. Like we make money together. We travel.
You're
we
like, we're with each other,
I'm like,
all the
we're
time.
We're always together. Like,
No.
And I'm full. Like, to be honest, I'm filled. Like, I don't need the Venetian gondola romantic ride. I'm like, yo, like, I'm so, like, this is so cool. But then I was like, oh, love's laying your life down for somebody. It doesn't matter if I need that.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. And you needed other things, too. But, like, I think that it was important for us to understand that the time that we were spending, just because it was a lot of time that we were spending together, it was the way that we were using that time that wasn't quality time.
Yeah.
So that was really important.
So putting boundaries in place, separating, yeah, work and relationship has been huge for us.
Oh yeah. And we only work 3 days a week together.
Yep. So like in the office, Esther's only in the office for 3 days out of a 7 day, you know, week.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely creates space where we get to work apart from one another.
Yep.
What else?
I mean, what were some of the challenges for you? Because I shared some that, you know, were hard for me, but.
Yeah, I think probably I made some mistakes early on in the relationship where I have always desired to have a woman in my life that we build businesses together and that we champion one another.
Yeah.
And probably too soon jumped into that. So I think there's a hindrance when you're in a relationship of discernment of, you entangle, when you start making money with somebody and you start doing business, it becomes more complicated. Mm-hmm. It's not the, we're just dating and, yeah, getting to know each other to see if we want to marry one another. It's like, hey, we also work together and we're out fighting battles every single week, taking, yeah, territory, solving problems, overcoming things, creating, yeah, solutions. So there was a and early on, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
I would not change a thing, for the record. I'm so glad our journey's been the way it's been. But I think it was hard because there was like the business and the relationship, and they were kind of blended together.
Yeah.
And that can make seeing and noticing blind spots a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. So I think I felt a little hindered by that, and I felt pressured by that.
Yeah.
But we grew through that together, yeah. And we communicated ultimately about the things that were on our hearts and our minds. And I think that's helped us steward it more. I'm trying to think outside of that, any issues? Yeah, I mean, for me, like, this has honestly been a dream come true. So there's that too. But I think learning how to separate the business, shut it off mm-hmm. from my brain,
yeah,
and just be like, here's a woman that I love. And I need to love her and make her feel loved, make her feel appreciated, make her feel seen, make yeah. her feel valued. That can be a challenge when you spend all day working in a business together.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm leaving the office and going home to see, you know, my girl that or go to, on a date with her that I, you know, haven't seen all day. Like, I've seen you all day. And maybe mm-hmm. even in that day, there were frustrating moments. Maybe you did something. I'm like, oh, why did you do that? And I'm like, still tense about it, you know? It's like being able to shut that off and be like, hey, like, work's done. Well, I'm gonna put that over here. Now it's, I'm boyfriend Cody.
Yeah, exactly. I think too is really important. I want people to know that it was such a risky bet on our future and a risky bet on what God was saying to us about our relationship, our business, our dreams, all of that, while still like surrendering to him. Because there's a lot of people, and I will say I've fallen into this category in the past, of like, you are buying into an image or a picture of what you want the relationship to look like, and yeah. and you can sell yourself a little bit on that picture, but you really have to be so attentive and aware of, okay, am I happy now?
Yeah.
Is this what I want now? Yeah. Like, not just, oh, but this is the picture that I want. And I'm putting this out on social media, so I'm committed to it. And like, we work together, so we have to keep staying together. No, it was like this constant surrender, humility, like, God, if this isn't your will, if you're not at the center of this, if we're not being transformed by you, God, and if we're not loving each other, if we're not deeply pursuing each other, and we're yeah. feeling like, yes, this is my person. Yes. I want to like, freaking, and eternity isn't long enough with this person, then that's okay. I will surrender and step away from the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's a hard, really, really, I know we both had to get to that place where we're like, okay, like we have to, we're not like signed on the dotted line here, you know, we're still in process.
Yeah.
That was a big, I think, bet to take on a relationship, but it's definitely been worth it because that pressure and that fire has refined us so intensely.
Yeah. I feel like we've been trapped to a rocket ship. Yeah. I think that's so powerful. Guys, and there's a lot of bonuses, I would say, yes. too.
Oh, so many.
I'd say on the upside, being in a relationship with you and getting to operate in the marketplace with you is the most amazing thing that like we get to do.
Yeah.
Like so every fun. Day, like we complement each other. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the things I'm great at, Esther isn't great at, but a lot of things that I'm not good at all, Esther is brilliant at. So it creates this yeah. power couple dynamic duo of complementing one another. And then there's also this level of encouragement you can have for your significant other in the marketplace, in yeah. the call in their life, in the dreams. You yeah. have a little more of permission, I think, to say things to one another that a coworker would never say to you.
Yeah.
I think there's a level where I can call you out.
Oh, there's an honesty for sure.
And you can call me yeah. out. And I definitely have with you. And yeah. I think the hard thing has been to, I've honestly probably been pretty hard on you.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. Like probably most men would not be as hard on their girlfriend as I've been on you. Mm-hmm. And I'd say you've been hard on me too. Different ways how you've been hard yeah. on me. But I just
shape up.
I see God's call in your life though.
Yeah.
And I see the greatness in you. And like we've had moments and I'm like, Esther, I feel like you're running away from the game. You're mm-hmm. playing too small. You're not mm-hmm. a right. Soon as the lights are on, yeah. you want to take the easy way out. Like, let's just be real.
Yeah.
But it's been cool because she loves me yeah. because she knows that I love you. You've taken it and received it.
Yeah. It's been a maturing journey for sure. I'll never forget. I think recently we had a I think it was when we were launching the e-course for Contents Daily, and we were recording one day for all of our content, and I just get so burnt out so fast on that because it's not, it doesn't fill me up to talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
And we were filming and I was just like, okay, I'm done. I forget what I was going to go do. Like, I think I was sitting on the couch or something, and you go, it's funny how the minute the lights come on and it's time to play the game, you run away or you shut down and like you put the bat down and you walk off. And it like hit me hard. I was like, well, shoot, you're kind of right. Like, it was true. It was like the minute the game begins, I'm cool with practice. I'm like, I'm going to be the friggin' all-star over here hitting home runs with practice time. But the minute the game begins, I'm kind of just like, no, I'm good. I don't need to be I don't want the spotlight. I'm good behind the curtain. I'm good with just like being a supportive role. And it's because there's fear and limiting beliefs in me. And so, yeah, you called that out in me, and it made me evaluate areas of my life and ways in which I wasn't even submitting to God.
Yeah. And you've done the same for me. It's funny because I'm actually, as soon as the lights come on, something comes over me where I step in.
Yeah.
I love the challenge of like having to show up and play the game. There's something inside of me that like, it just turns on. There's like fight or flight, and I'm all fight.
Yeah.
But there's also the preparation I'm terrible at.
Mm.
So it's like, you bring that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'm just like, nah, just throw me in the game, bro. And he's like, yo, you need to practice before you go in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool how we compliment each other. Well, we're coming to the end of the show here in the last few minutes. And I actually want to create space for you, babe. That's just like, is there anything on your heart right now that God's put on your heart that you feel needs to be shared in this show? For someone to receive, it can be anything.
Yeah. There's a couple different things, but the first thing I kind of want to start with is I think it's so beautiful that we get to do this episode together because I think that, you know, we have made the choice to share our relationship openly. You know, I think at first when we first started dating, we didn't share anything on social media and we thought, okay, maybe we'll keep this a secret till we're engaged like every couple does, you know? Yeah. And we chose to share our journey with the world because I think we wanted to glorify God in a unique way. But we also, I think, you know, especially for me, I wanted to kind of invite people in on the process of what it looks like to fall in love and what it looks like to love someone and build life with that person and share memories together. Yeah. But I think so many people can... they can kind of build a fantasy out of seeing someone else's story and put themselves into your story and not see, obviously we're not sharing all the imperfections and all of that.
Right.
Obviously, like no one needs to know, there's no need to overshare, but I want people to know that just because you're looking up to people that you admire, you're seeing their story, doesn't mean that there's not pain in the process. Doesn't mean that like we're not going through the fire of refinement and just like working through things, that our relationship will always be this ongoing, powerful place of transformation that's going to take work. And everyone's relationship, if you're single out there and you're looking for a relationship, it will be work. But it's so beautiful, the work that happens within you and the connection that happens in that relationship and the beauty that God pours into you and that you see in the lives of those around you in that process. So that's really important for me to I just want to communicate that to the audience, that like relationships are such a gift from God and that the process and the journey, it's so worth it.
Mm, that's so good. So good, babe. And I think there's something that you said that just like sparked something in me. It's so easy to look at others, even to look at our relationship, right? And to think that it's so perfect and to desire maybe what we have. And it's like everyone's journey is their own. A long time ago, my mentor shared with me that someone that has true influence in the world, yes, in a token, you are somebody that people want to be like. To have influence, you have to live your life in a way that inspires others to want to live their life in a similar way.
Yeah.
That is influence. But here's the part everyone misses. They need to know you're just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happened is for so long, popular people, celebrities, influencers, like people we've looked up to, we idolize.
Yeah.
But we don't actually know them.
Mm-hmm.
We see the highlights in social media. We romanticize it. We dream about it. We fantasize about it. But we don't actually see that they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is like Esther and I are just like you.
Yeah.
Now we're different. There will never be another Esther in the world. There will never be another me in the world.
Yeah.
God made us perfect the way we are. We have things to steward as you do, but we're human.
Yeah.
We have flaws. We get angry. We get stressed. We get anxious. We get depressed. We go through all of the things that everyone else goes through. We fight in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We've argued in our relationship. We've gotten mad in our relationship. We've thought about giving up on our relationship.
Yeah.
We've gone through all of it.
Because we're human.
Yes. And so I think that that's so good, babe, because it's like, that's one thing I don't want to do. I hope we inspire you to know it's possible to have a relationship and a power dynamic like we have.
Yeah.
But I also want you to know what we had to fight through and continue to fight through to protect and to have that and to steward that.
Absolutely. And it all began, I think, with the journey of pursuing who God has called us to be in singleness.
Yeah.
In that, and just like fully giving into that process. And now we're here, you know, and now we're committed to being consistent with loving each other and surrendering again, continuing to surrender to that selfless laying down our life process.
Yeah, so good. Well, guys, Esther does have her recent book out, Single Shouldn't Suck.
Yes.
I would encourage all of you guys, if you haven't already, I mean, you can listen to it on Audible. You can go buy it on Amazon. You can go to her website, Esther Marie.
Yep, EstherMarie.org.
.org. And, or her devotionals in the YouVersion Bible app. Go follow her on social media.
I have an online community for single women called Freebird, where I do group coaching and give you a 10 bucket list a month.
Yeah. And you know what's cool about that? And this show isn't to promote or sell anything, but it's like Esther and me really sat down. I'm her strategist on her business. Yeah. And I think it's so cool, babe, because you've created something so valuable that's so cheap, right? It's like $47 a month membership, guys, to be a part of this community. And I come from a world where we pay tens of thousands of dollars. Like, I don't want to tell you guys what I pay for, like, my brotherhood. And I would pay it all day long. You know, I wouldn't change a thing to be a part of the communities I'm a part of.
Yeah.
But ladies, if you're out there and you're looking for a sisterhood in women, not more than just a community too, but somebody that's been through that. I mean, Esther, your story is incredible and you guys will read about it inside of the book. She does a really good job stewarding, you know, the women that she's brought together. So where can they connect with you on social?
Yeah. So my handle is at Estes. That's E-S-T-E, three S's. And we can connect. DM me. I respond to all my DMs. Yes, it is me. Everyone's like, I don't know if this is Esther, like a robot. It's me. And
she takes a lot of time.
I do. I want to pour into every woman that comes to me. It's such an honor.
Yeah. Well, babe, so thank you. It was really an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, babe.
I'll definitely have to have you back on. And the last thing I'll say for you guys, if there's anything that you think would be cool to have Esther and I talk about on this show, and we could even do some special ones, just us talking about things that we're learning, whether it's love, our relationship, how to put God first in our relationship, walking in purity, like so many topics we could talk about, please reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know some things that you would like to see discussed on this show. But thank you for coming on the show, babe. And guys, as always, go make today great.